Today on the Sex and Tell show, Sonia and I will be talking to Andy about circumcision, the pros and cons, and also some history. So today on the Sex and Tell show, we have our friend, Andy Kohler.
Hi.
He was in the music school with us, was with me because I just graduated. Wow. And I guess currently is with Sonia. So anyway, Andy, how about you tell us a little bit about your opinions on circumcision, which is the topic today. How about you start with, how about how you kind of became interested in this topic?
Yes, I was thinking that would be a good place to start. I have been very interested in this for about 5 years now. I was always sort of ready to take this position. It was actually reading the late Christopher Hitchens who sort of gave me the extra push that I needed about 4.5 years ago to become what we call an intactivist, which is the word intact plus activist.
Meh.
We're very clever in this movement.
I see, yeah.
And we also come up with great acronyms for the organizations, too.
Oh, really?
Like No Circ. Get it?
Wait,
no Circ.
What does that mean?
National Organization for Circumcision Information Resource Centers.
Clever.
Very clever
well
people.
Done.
And the position of intactivism is essentially part of what I would call a greater movement to preserve the right of bodily integrity. I would relate it to things like reproductive rights, for example. Mm-hmm. And that is the position, which is apparently very radical, who knew, that you shouldn't mess with other people's bodies.
Don't touch my junk.
Exactly. Exactly. It is the don't touch my junk movement. Oh, dear.
Coining that.
No, I
started right here.
Very good. I view intactivism as opposition to any sort of non-consensual bodily alteration practice. But really what the movement tends to focus on is genital cutting practices on either males, females, or a third very important category that I don't think we'll have too much time to get into today, unfortunately, surgery on intersex children. Mm. It is really a very bad idea to do so-called corrective surgery on intersex children before they...
Infants, basically.
Yes, infants or small children.
Before they have the opportunity to voice their opinions.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially in that case, before they have a chance to voice what their gender identity is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is a very important issue that, of course, really merits its own show, basically.
Yeah,
but maybe in the future.
Definitely.
Would love to.
Today, I'm mostly focusing on male circumcision because that is the practice that is prevalent in our culture and is taken for granted in many ways mm-hmm. in our culture, including by the medical establishment.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that most so-called first world countries, whatever that even means, do not practice circumcision. It has never been popular on the whole in Europe or in Scandinavia.
Mm.
It really has been genital cutting of both male and female children has been sort of with us. It's one of those very, very bad ideas that has been with us as long as we have been around, like the oppression of women and all those other, the little kinks in the human species that we need
what
to be
What separates
working
us from
out.
Dolphins? Basically.
What separates us? I do not know of any genital mutilation rituals in the
dolphin
society. In the dolphin
yeah,
community.
True.
I agree. They're the smarter species, but
they are.
So I wanna ask about numbers on this because
my
knowledge of the topic is pretty limited, but I'm led to believe that it's fairly common in America.
Yes. It is becoming less so, I'm pleased to report, in recent years. But it has been in the last one or two decades, it has been increasingly questioned in America. And what is very notable, though, is that in our fellow English-speaking countries, in Britain, in Australia, in New Zealand, circumcision of infant males has really gone away. In England, for example, it went away really around 1950.
Oh, interesting.
That early.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That early. They just sort of realized, oh, wait a minute, this is not productive.
I see.
Hmm. But it still happens quite a lot here.
Yes, it has been much harder to get rid of here for some reason.
Do you have any opinions about why that might be?
Well, I have some opinions on why circumcision has been hard to get rid of in general.
Gott hat es gewollt! Und viele werden verführt. Hoffart zündet ein neues Gedankenlicht an.
Sie heben sich hoch, die kleinen Geschöpfe.
Die Taggeschöpfe.
Sie heben sich.
Und sie erheben sich gegen dich.
Und treffen nur immer sich selber. Und treiben es bis zur Vernichtung.
Nihil contra Deum, nisi Deus ipse. Wann endet die Zeit?
Why was it popularized? When does it begin?
In English-speaking countries, and of course, I'm not talking about religious circumcision in Judaism, obviously. It's been around for a very long time in Judaism. Islam, it's not a commandment in the way that it is in Judaism, but it's still very commonly practiced. There are all sorts of tribal initiation rites, which are usually done much later in childhood. You're becoming a man now, so endure the pain of having part of your penis cut off, is basically what it is. This is really a Victorian era practice. It started in America, though, and then went to the place where Victoria actually was. And there was a doctor by the name of Louis Serre, and in 1870, he cured a 5-year-old boy of paraplegia by circumcising him because he noted that the boy had inflamed genitals, and he said that this kid couldn't, like, straighten out his knees because of reflex neurosis. I don't know what that is. But reflex neurosis, I guess caused by phimosis, which according to circumcision proponents is the worst condition a human being can possibly suffer. It means that the foreskin won't retract over the glands, which it's not supposed to actually in small children, so it's misdiagnosed a lot. It's actually still more or less attached to the glands up through childhood. People don't know this. And medical professionals don't know that you aren't supposed to mess with it.
And they act, it's cut off.
Exactly. Because when it's there, they just try to make it appear to have cut off, I guess, and push it back. This can be highly problematic. But anyhow, apparently this kid had phimosis or he had something, and this doctor decided to remove his foreskin, and lo and behold, he could walk. It's a miracle of modern science.
Just to put this in perspective, this was the 15th century when they still bled people.
19th century.
I thought you said it was 1470 when they...
Oh, no, 1870.
Oh, I'm sorry, okay.
But it was still 1870. This was a while ago.
Civil War era.
5 years after the Civil War, this happened. That's a good way of looking at it.
Oh, my
God. Since then, it has been assumed that circumcision is more hygienic because men are too incompetent to figure out how to clean themselves.
Well, I mean, I live with a boy, and I won't finish that sentence.
But it's one thing, you know, not to, you know, do the dishes. It's another thing not to be able to figure out how to, you know, clean your genitals when, and especially since people were under the impression that in infants you have to retract it and clean all the whatever is accumulated under there, supposedly. It's really not, I mean, this is really just a ridiculous assumption because I once talked to the director of Doctors Opposing Circumcision. Get it? Doc, like doctor. They're so clever. And he
said... Are they paying someone to come up with
They must be. But what this gentleman said to me was, think about it. Do you suppose that throughout, you know, as the species evolved, men needed to be spending hours and hours cleaning under their foreskins as they were, like, out trying to hunt and not be eaten by... whatever.
Hours and hours? Does it really take...
They act as though it is the most difficult thing you could possibly do.
The point being, had they been so detrimental to men's health, they would have been removed by...
natural selection.
Right.
Either that or the species just would have died out. One or the other. But neither of these things happened. So the idea is that, you know, it's more hygienic and therefore every single medical problem can be cured by it. But the things that it was supposed to help prevent or cure include insanity, tuberculosis, feeble-mindedness, rheumatism, asthma, epilepsy, bedwetting, erectile dysfunction, convulsions, nervous disturbances, dyspepsia, symptoms of cerebral disease, heart palpitation, and this is the main one, the most evil disease known to humankind.
Death?
Masturbation. For you see, this was in the Victorian era when you had a bunch of crazy doctors like John Harvey Kellogg. Yes, that is the same person who gave us Kellogg's cornflakes.
The same person?
Uh-huh. He was this doctor who was insanely sexually repressed. I mean, whoa. And he has this delightful little book he wrote called Plain Facts for Old and Young. And there's a chapter in this delightful book called Solitary Vice. I shall read to you part of this. If illicit commerce of the sexes is a heinous sin, self-pollution, or masturbation, is a crime doubly abominable. As a sin against nature, it has no parallel except in sodomy. A person named Dr. Adam Clark, he also quotes, is saying, in my opinion, neither the plague nor war nor smallpox nor similar diseases have produced results so disastrous to humanity as the pernicious habit of onanism.
Well, I learned a new word today.
Onanism is from the biblical story about Onan, who was supposed to impregnate his brother's widow since his brother had failed to produce children with her before he died, and therefore it's his job to carry on the line.
Oh, but instead he wasted his sperm?
Well, he kind of freaked out, and it wasn't masturbation. It was coitus interruptus, basically. He sort of freaked out, pulled out his seed, you know, spilled
That's
on the ground,
shame.
And he was killed instantly. This is somewhere in the book of Genesis.
Side note, every sperm is sacred.
Uh-huh, that?
Yes.
Every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great.
Make them pay for each sperm that can't be to treat their seamen with more care.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great.
If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Every sperm is sacred.
Every sperm is good.
So you see my problem, little ones. I can't keep you all here any longer.
Speak up!
I can't keep you all here any longer! God has blessed us so much, I can't afford to feed you anymore.
God shall strike them down for each sperm that's built in vain.
Goes on to say that basically you were better off like dead than masturbating. It will make you crazy. You will wind up in an asylum, blah, 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 blah. And then we get to ways of preventing it. In younger children with whom moral considerations will have no particular weight, other devices may be used. A remedy which is almost always successful in small boys is circumcision, especially when there is any degree of phimosis. The operation should be performed by a surgeon without administering an anesthetic, as the brief pain attending the operation will have a salutary effect upon the mind, especially if it be connected with the idea of punishment, as it may well be in some cases. The soreness which continues for several weeks interrupts the practice, and if it had not previously become too firmly fixed, it may be forgotten and not resumed. The 1888 edition, he comes up with an even worse, if possible, idea of suturing the foreskin shut.
Oh,
and then he has the following. It keeps getting worse. In females, the author has found the application of pure carbolic acid to the clitoris an excellent means of allaying the abnormal excitement and preventing the recurrence of the practice in those whose willpower has become so weakened that the patient is unable to exercise self-control.
Oh my God. This doctor did not like his mother.
No, he did not like anyone, especially not himself. And I should note at this juncture that we think of female genital cutting practices as something that goes on in Africa and in other parts of the world, completely removed from our society. That has not always been the case. There is a book by a woman named Patricia Robinette called The Rape of Innocence, which you can get on Amazon. And she describes how she discovered that sort of relatively late in life, she discovered that she had actually had genitally alterating surgery done on her in the 1950s. Clitoridectomy used to be recommended to cure things like epilepsy and other mental illnesses. I read a quotation from a doctor, and what's a poor woman with a clitoris supposed to do? Or something like that.
Oh my God.
Some poor epileptic woman with a clitoris, like the clitoris is. It's like saying some poor woman, you know, with a nose. It's
right.
Just a feature of the human body,
yeah.
But it's been pathologized.
It's just incredible to me that these societies ever had sex again.
It is. It really is. So these are the sorts of people who gave us circumcision. He then goes on to write a chapter, Is the prepuce a natural physiological appendage? The prep use is just another term for, in men, the foreskin. In women, the clitoral hood. He's talking about the foreskin, though, and he says basically that it is such an evil thing that, you know, there's no reason to consider it physiological. It is, he says, when does something physiological cross the line into being pathological? He says that basically the normal male body is pathological and needs to be remedied.
Let's talk about the aesthetics of the foreskin.
Oh, yes, let's.
Yeah, I'm really curious because there's a small argument made in more recent times for the aesthetic of circumcision.
We do not perform cosmetic surgery on children for the benefit of future sexual partners. That is a completely insane idea. Why not give little girls boob jobs? I would imagine that whatever people are used to is what they are used to. And it's only because people are so ignorant about male circumcision in so many ways that you get things like the second season episode of Sex and the City with the characteristically subtle and tasteful title, Old Dogs, New Dicks.
Oh, you're... It's...
uncircumcised. Is that okay?
No. Sure. Of course it is. It was not okay. The only uncut version of anything Charlotte had ever seen was the original Gone with the Wind.
There was so much skin, it was like a Sharpay.
You've never seen an uncircumcised one?
I'm from Connecticut.
Reminder, you're dating the guy, not the penis.
Aesthetics are important to me.
It's not what it looks like, it's what they can do with it.
Well, I don't need one that can make its own carrying case.
Personally, I love an uncircumcised dick. It's like a Tootsie Pop. Hard on the outside with a delicious surprise inside.
I don't like surprises. I like it all out there where I could see it.
Shame here. I'm sorry, it is not normal.
Well, actually it is. Something like 85% of men aren't circumcised.
Great, now they're taking over the world.
Honey, it's a penis, not Godzilla.
Hey, if 85% aren't circumcised, that means I've only slept with 15% of the population tops.
Wow, you're practically a virgin.
You know, he's a nice waspy guy. What went wrong?
Well, maybe his parents were hippies and just didn't believe in it.
I am so circumcising my kids.
I think you can pay people to do that now.
I don't ever want to know there's a woman out there calling my son a Sharpay.
All I'm saying is uncut men are the best. They try harder.
I should know. I've slept with 5 of them.
Out of how many?
Infinity.
So, yeah, point is aesthetics can be as important to you as you like, but you're not allowed to turn other people's bodies into your personal artworks without their permission.
I was wondering if we could come back to what we were talking about before with infants.
Oh, yes. That is a good... You mean with pain felt by infants?
Sure. Mm.
Well, it used to be thought by the medical profession, incredible though this is to believe, that infants don't really feel pain. And you certainly don't need to, like, use anesthetic if you're doing surgery on an infant, because anesthetic just has more risks. So why would you use it? I mean, it's just going to be, like, a little bit of pain, and they're not going to remember. That's, people are always saying, oh, well, you know, it's so much better when you don't remember it. I personally do not dislike the idea of remembering pain. I dislike the idea of feeling pain.
Mm-hmm.
The memory of the pain is, I'm an unpleasant memory, but it's not the problem.
Sure.
Being in pain is the problem.
Right.
And it turns out that a huge majority of circumcisions, as they've been performed over history in various contexts, are relatively recently that any sort of analgesic whatsoever would be used. These days, they are now recommending that it do be used. Whether or not infants form a conscious memory may be one thing, but that isn't to say that being subject to a traumatic experience, such as being strapped down and this is not a little snip, as people like to say. I mentioned earlier the foreskin of an infant is attached to the glands. It has to be essentially pried off and then cut off. I'm sorry to go into gruesome details, but that's just what
really,
it entails.
That's how it is.
Mm-hmm. And this is not a minor procedure. People say, oh, it's such a minor procedure, it's so quick. No, not so much. Even if there were no pain at all, that would still not obviate the fact that we're talking about the involuntary removal of another person's body part. Mm-hmm. But to say that there is no sort of pain or trauma is completely false. To say that there are no risks is false. For one thing, there's a 100% chance of mutilation because it is removing a healthy, functioning body part. That, look up mutilation in the dictionary. It's what it is. Mm-hmm. I don't use the term mutilation to be sensationalist. It's what it is.
My days have grown so lonely. For you I cry, for you the only. Why haven't you seen it? I'm all for you, body and soul. I spend my days in longing. I'm wondering why it's me you're wronging. Oh, I tell you I mean it. I'm all for you, body and soul. I can't believe it. It's hard to conceive it that you'd throw away. Pretending it looks like the ending, unless I can have one more chance to prove, dear, my life a hell you're making. You know I'm yours for just the taking. I'd gladly surrender myself to you, body and soul. What lies before me? A future that's stormy, a winter that's gray and cold. Unless there's magic, the end will be tragic. An echo or tale that's been told.
And by the way, before we go, I just want to say what is very disturbing is that it is now very well known that there are people who are really not happy about being circumcised and who are speaking out.
We really appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, thank you.
And it's very enlightening to talk about something I had no knowledge of.
And this is only the... This is only the prepuce of the issue, if you will.
This is for ladies. Only.
Want to learn more about your health and sexuality? Psychology researchers at the University of Michigan are looking for women who are not on the pill to participate in a research study on health and sexuality. Participants will engage in one study session each month for a total of 5 months. So if you are a woman who is between the ages of 18 and 40 in an ongoing relationship with a male partner, not taking hormonal medications, including hormonal contraceptives or the pill, not pregnant, and not breastfeeding, call us for more information at 734-763-7121 or email us at sexresearch@umich.edu. That's 734-763-7121 or sexresearch@umich.edu. This study is being conducted by the Van Anders Lab at the University of Michigan Psychology Department. Study number HUM00025873.
Oh, get it, baby.